Morning.
I got to thinking a little bit ago, which normally in my life is a dangerous thing, but I'll do my best. That just 24 hours ago, we had two caskets sitting up here in front, flowers arranged, and then here we are gathered this morning. And it made me think how tempting it is. No, I don't know if temptation is the right word. How easy it might be to make this time we have together be a little artificial bubble instead of just part of regular life. Because when we gather together, we're not leaving everything out there. It comes in here with us. The pains and sorrows we feel for whatever's happened in the moment, and the joys of celebrations. We can bring up the new grandbaby, can't we, again? Joys and celebrations are all part of our lives. And it's intended to be, this time together, it's intended to be a time where we can be together and be there for each other, to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, and acknowledge life and how God is still faithful and that He's here always among us. Maybe it's just me that gets tempted to try to treat this as different. Before we get into our lesson, let's have our prayer together, please. Father, we do acknowledge that there are times that we will take our devotion to You and make it artificial, make it separate in such a way that it loses its connection to all that goes on around us. Father, we ask that You'll help us to remember that You know not only what's going on today, but that You are with us every day that's been. That when we're having those times that we're struggling, that our hearts are hurting, that You're there. And that in those moments, Father, where we feel joy inexpressible because of the good that's gone on, that You're there. And so as we come together, Father, this morning, we ask that You will help us to be here for each other, to give the encouragement where it's needed, the love, the celebrations, but, Father, to know that this moment is part of all that goes on, and that we're not only together now, but we are joined together all through the week because of what You've done for us through Your Son. I'm grateful, Father, for Your love, for Your mercy, for all that You've done for us. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. Now when you go to the zoo, especially one of the nice big ones, and you want to get someplace in particular, a map is a good thing to have, especially one that's set in a spot where you can know this is where you are, this is where you're trying to be. Because if you don't know exactly where you are, how can you get where you want to be? If you have a hankering to see the elephants, you've got to know where you are. Otherwise, you wander around because zoos are not built in straight lines, are they? They're not like the highway. They are just in and out, and you can turn down one way and end up someplace you have no idea how you got there. So to have a marker to know this is where we are, this is where we're going, is so very important. It's that way in life. If we don't know where we are, it's hard to lay out where you want to be down the line. And spiritually, it's the same thing. In that sense of, we will talk about where we want to be, how we want to draw closer to God, how we want to have the changes going on in our lives. And we'll talk about all that can be down the line. But unless we can look at ourselves and go, you know, I want to be there. And this is where I am now, today. Back to our scripture reading, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. That's the same kind of examination, isn't it? To look at what's really going on in your life and say, where am I? Where have I come from? Where am I today? And where do I want to be as I get down further down this path? And that whole process helps us do that. When we think about that idea of what we want to accomplish in our lives, what we want to accomplish together and individually in our lives spiritually, we have to have that kind of picture in mind. So, but how do we, what do we measure? What do we look at in our lives to go, how do I know where I am exactly? And I want us to wrestle with that part of it. So in our lineup of dig down and stretch up and reach out, when we look at all those things together, we can talk about how those are the kind of things we want to have, but then we have to realize, what do we do with those? How do we measure that? And this idea of digging down is one we know that we want to do that, don't we? To grow roots, to become more solid in our faith, to become a people who are strong in our foundation. Now, to get there, we talk about God's Word as a main component to help us to grow. And we know how the Word of God is so very important to our growth spiritually, that we can't just go on growing without getting into God's Word. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, what does he tell us? The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We know that the Word of God, it's not a neutral thing, is it? That when we bring it into our lives, it changes us. It cuts into us. It makes some judgments about what's going on within us. And we need that as a source of life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We know the Scripture can be applied to our lives that we see where we are because of what it says to us. We see what's going on, the truth about our hearts, the truth about our lives, the truth about what we say and the actions that we take on. We see that through the Word of God. And so the idea and now for us is, how do we measure that? How do we measure how well we're doing in the idea of putting down spiritual roots? How do you know that? And if we use the Word of God as a measure, sometimes we can talk about, well, we start to measure based upon how much we get into the Word of God. I mean, is it a good measure to say, have I read the Word of God today? Have I been in Scripture today? And look at it every day. Have I been in Scripture every day of the week? And we start to measure how often we read the Word of God and how we get into that. And so we use that time. How much time have we spent in God's Word? You know, is it 30 seconds or has it been 5 minutes or has it been 10? Have we dived into it for 30 minutes? And so we start to measure how long we've been into God's Word so that we can say we have had Scripture as part of our lives in all of that. And then maybe another is our knowledge of it. Can you all imagine? Well, we might miss some of y'all. Can you imagine if you came in this morning and I handed out a test and said, this will go on your permanent record? So we're going to have a test of your Bible knowledge. Now, tests aren't most people's favorite things, are they? But our knowledge of God's Word, whether or not we know. And maybe y'all are like me. We can talk about the kids do better than me sometimes. The names of the books of the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I get down to Minor Prophets, and you know what I do? Minor Prophets, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I know what they're there, but the thing is sometimes in living we can go, what do we need to know here? How much do I know? How much do I recognize as being part of God's Word? Do I know enough so that sayings of Benjamin Franklin don't make me think that came from Scripture? And so we know that knowledge matters. And so how do we measure our knowledge of God's Word, our understanding of it? And maybe how many verses have we memorized? there. Now, the kids could get us again there, because how many of us as adults sit down and think, I'm going to memorize Scripture and work on that? How many verses do I know? And we look at all those. We look at how often we get in the Word of God. We look at how much we know about it. We look at how much that we've held within our hearts. And the thing is those are I think, are tools that help us. But do those numbers tell us how well we're doing in growing spiritually and putting down spiritual roots? Because, you know, it is possible. It is possible for us to know Scripture and miss the point. In John chapter 5, Jesus, in talking to the Pharisees, says, you study the Scriptures diligently. See, they're not lax in it at all. They're diligent in their study of Scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You see how they missed it? They were in Scripture. They knew God's Word, and they still missed what God had in mind for them. And for us, when we bring that all together, it's like, I want to grow and develop and roots and dig down deep in my life. So what do I need to measure to see how well I'm doing that? Because I know I can get distracted and know a lot of God's Word and miss the point. I'm going to get distracted already on that. But so we have to look at that aspect of things. So one of the things I think that will help us is whether or not we're changed by God's Word. How are we different today based on what we were last year or 5 years ago? How have we been changed by God's Word in our thinking and our living and our lives? In Ephesians chapter 4, in describing that, in talking about how we were taught about Christ and the way that we were taught, he said, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And when he lays that out, he says, can you see how you are different today because of the Scripture that you've read, that you've studied, that you've memorized? How are you different today because of it? If I am not any different, I'm missing something. Now, the challenge in this is a lot harder to measure than how many days have I read this month Scripture? How far have I read within God's Word? That's easy to measure. But to look at my own heart and my life and go, how am I different because of God's Word? How has the Word of God been changing my heart and my mind? And to see that. Now, the challenge for all of us is that other people might see a little bit of us and how we live our lives, but they can't see our hearts to know what's going on there. So how much have we allowed the Word of God to change us? How much has it been changing us? And part of that change is in how we live our lives. Jesus talks about that, and I didn't put it up here, Matthew chapter 7, talking about, you know, the people who hear what I've got to teach and they put it into practice are like those who build on the rock. We could sing the song. James says in verse 22, chapter 1, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In other words, the Word of God is to have a practical impact on us, to where we don't just read it, but we take it and we go, that means I need to change something about the way I treat the people around me. We read it and go, that means there's something in my heart. That means that my heart, I need to change that attitude that I carry around it with me. And that change has to take place where we live that out, that we have that value soon. Now, all these years later, through the years, I can look at myself and go, you know, I used to. But what I've learned, now this is where I am. And that's a challenge for us to look at ourselves honestly. Like James would say, to look in the mirror and see who we are. See who we were and see who we are now. But to be able to grow, we've got to have that honesty to look at ourselves and see, this is how God is changing me through His Word. And how I'm making a difference. Well, how about the idea of to stretch up? And I think, how are we doing in drawing nearer to God? Are we closer to God in our hearts and our minds today than what we used to be? Whether 6 months ago or 5 years ago, How are we doing in that? Now, one way that draws us to God and reminds us of who He is and our place before Him is in worship. Because it's in worship that we acknowledge that God is God. It is in worship that we do those practices, whether we sing, when we're praying, when we're opening up God's Word together, when in the adoration of our hearts before God is a reminder to us that God is God. And He will be Lord in my life. He will be the one who sits on the throne of my heart and every day. And so I want to have those practices in my life that set Him there, and so that I draw that out. And so we know, Hebrews 12:28, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. And I think that all of that description, thankfulness, reverence, and awe, is part of what we express through our worship to God, that we reframe our lives knowing who He is and what He's taught us. And so as we sing, our songs are intended to be sung where we listen to what we're saying when we sing. And we know how easy it is to sing a song and not know what the words are. Or not remember the words. Because it's a song when we've sung it so many times. We stop listening to ourselves. We know how easy it is to get into the habit in our prayers together corporately to where we get distracted. We don't hear it. And so, you know, when we think about that idea of measuring, how do we measure our devotion to God? When we talk about attendance when we gather up together, that's one we keep that, don't we? You can look back and find out how many people were in this building 50 years ago. What year is this? Yes, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30, last week. And if you find the right pieces of paper, we even have an idea who was here. So we'll talk about when we gathered together, how many of us were here? Who was here? Have we been spending time in worship to God? How much time have we done that? How much, and maybe how much have we incorporated worship and devotion to God in our own lives outside of this building? Do we need to be in this building to have gratitude? Do we need to just be here to be able to sing songs of praise to God or to pray? And we know those things are so very necessary. But again, in a large part, they're more tools than they are the actual measure. Because you know it is possible. It is possible to actually be in this building on a Sunday morning and stand in front of a whole bunch of other folks and talk about God's Word and not be drawn closer to God. I know a lot of preachers that have had just that. Much less to be able to sit together and miss what God wants for us, because we know we're supposed to. Now, well, I gotta be there. But what is it that God wants to have happen to us? Because we know, here we talk about the measure. It's possible to do all the right things and miss the point. Colossians chapter 2. In talking about the basic rules that, you know, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste, all these things, these rules which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. You hear the connection between worship and that there's supposed to be a difference in our hearts and our lives because of it? It is possible for us to go through the motions of worship and have no impact on our hearts. It is possible to spend all that time and miss the point. And so when we talk about measure, what are we going to measure to look at whether or not this time together, when we sing together, when we pray together, if it's making a difference at all in our hearts, how do we measure that? How do we measure whether or not everything that we do through the word, are we getting closer to God in our lives, in all that we do? I think in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is being tempted and Satan tells him, hey, all you have to do is worship me and I'll give you all of this. And Jesus' answer back to him was this quote, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And I think there's a reminder in that little short verse of what worship is all about, because worship isn't just the did you enjoy it. Worship is did you get more focused on God? Because this is intended for us to see God more clearly. It's intended for us when we get out, no matter what day of the week, and we are thankful and we're grateful in our hearts, it's intended for us to become more focused on God and His place in our hearts. When we sing, when we pray, it's to put God at the center. So there's the measure maybe that we need to grab a hold of, is how much more focused have we become on God? Because it's so easy to get distracted by things in this life and forget the bigger picture of what God has done for us. To not see that life is so much more than a lot of things I may worry about in the moment. How well am I doing that? Having my heart changed by it. That attitude of the heart. Back over in Hebrews chapter 12, if we catch that, I think that's where we get worship as a central part. It says let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. You know, the gratitude is a measure of how much we're focused on God. Worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. When we draw closer to God, awe is a response. If I keep God far away, He's safer. But if I draw closer to Him, I will be amazed and awed by who He is, His power, His majesty, and all that He's done. Our God is a consuming fire. If I stretch up to God, it'll change my attitude. It'll change who I am. Because the closer to God, I start to even see the people around me in a different way. Again, that's hard to measure, isn't it? How much more focused am I on God? How's my heart changing in that regard? Reaching out. How well are we doing in making a difference in this world? And we go, an easy one for us to measure, right? Because when you think about it, what was one thing that drew people to Jesus? Oh, Matthew chapter 4 is a good spot of it. He goes through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then the next, I didn't get it on there, the next part of it is large crowds gathered close to him and followed him everywhere. Because they saw what he did. And so when we have that idea of good things going on, we know that part of what our purpose in this world is to have an impact on it, to have a positive impact on it. To where when we see those who are struggling, who need help, if they're hungry, we feed them. If they need clothes, we clothe them. If they, whatever, we're there for people who are in need, because we serve God and we make a difference in this world for everybody around us. And so when we talk about the idea of how do we track that, how do we measure how we're making a difference, and it might be easy to do. We can give a list of all the people we've helped this year with benevolence. David could probably tell you almost a number off the top of his head. He's been doing it, well, maybe a whole bunch of years, but how much we've been doing that, and could tell you we've got all the people that we've helped. I don't know if Linda could tell how many people have come through the clothes closet. And all the people have been helped with that. There's just so many that start talking about how many people have we made a difference in their lives. That they don't have to worry about something now because we were there for them. And so we have those numbers that go on. We can talk about how many people have we talked to about the gospel. And so we talk about those numbers. How many have been taught? We look at all the people that we've had a positive impact on and we say, look, we've made a difference in this world. But then we can also say, we know that we can do all kinds of good things and they can still be empty, can't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 13:3. gives us a reminder. I can give everything I have to the poor. I give my whole body over to hard times so I can talk about how much I've given to God. But if I don't have love, it's nothing. Well, haven't we fed people who are hungry? Haven't we clothed people who needed clothes that they were naked? Haven't we helped people do that? And God turns around to us and reminds us it's not just what you did, it's why you did it. Y'all remember the fellows in the... Jesus talked about the folks who were going in and giving at the treasury of the temple. And he talked about the folks who would go in and give, and they would have trumpets play, and they would make a big spectacle of how much they gave. So, did they honor God by their giving or not? They missed it, didn't they? They were looking for accolades from people as opposed to from God. And we can fall into that trap as well. So look at all these good things that we've done. How wonderful it's been. And it's like, well, whose praise are you trying to get? And if we're just looking to get slaps on the back and tell us how wonderful we are, we've got a reward. That's it. As opposed to what God seeks of us. So a better measure then will be not just what we do, but why. Because in God's eyes, motive matters. Our heart matters. When you look at Matthew chapter 25, there, whenever you have everybody before the throne on the day of judgment, and they're divided right and left, and Jesus starts telling them, say, hey, you know, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the folks on the right side said, when did we ever do that for you? And Jesus says, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. And on the other side, he tells them, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And he goes through the whole list and they go, wait a minute, we never saw you hungry. We never saw you naked. We never saw you in need. When were you there? I said, you didn't do it for anybody else. But I think what that tells us is it isn't the matter of the good things were done to make sure we got good brownie points. These folks, they did what they did because that's who they were. It came from their hearts. They loved other folks and they made a difference. They were there for other folks and they loved God and they made a difference. And so for us, it's when we do good things, when we want to measure that, is not just did we do good things, but did we do it because we loved others and we loved God? There's a difference that we need to be measuring in our lives. Why do we do what we do? Can we do things that are good and right without anybody else ever knowing? And feel like we did something good? Or do we need to make sure that everybody knows, look at all the good that we've done? Years and years ago, I knew a preacher who could tell you every person, every number of every baptism, every response, everybody in detail. Now, the only thing was, he counted everybody, I think, within a 10-mile radius. He was back home. One of the kids got baptized at camp. It went on his tally. While I was there, this is how many were baptized. When I was there, this is what went on. And it was like, it was almost like he made sure everybody knew that when he was there, oh, the world shook, so to speak, as opposed to just acknowledging. I wonder what it would have been like if he had acknowledged, let me tell you all the good people we've got here and how they're making a difference. It sure comes across differently, doesn't it? How much are we allowing why we do something to be the measure of along with what we do? Now, when you look at that, we have to realize, where are we trying to get? When we think about the Word of God and the idea of digging down deep roots, where do we want to be with that? Not just, I want to know, but don't we want the Word of God to change us through and through in our thinking and our living? And so we've got to see how that's happening. When we talk about the idea of stretching up to God, don't we want to draw close to Him and have our desire for God to grow and increase more and more? So where are we in that? And when we talk about reaching out and making a difference in this world, don't we want God to be glorified? That no matter what goes on, that when people walk away, they go, you know, God is so good. And the way God gets the glory is because our motive is for His glory and honor. So we look all down the road and said, where are we? I want to be down there. Now the thing is to get to the end of the road where we want to go means we've got to know where we are and what's the next step. If y'all can't read that writing, this little story is a wonderful little story. It says, I can't see a way through, said the boy. Can you see the next step? Yes. Just take that, said the horse. We're not trying to get to the end of the road today. We're trying to get one step further, closer and closer to where God wants us to be. So where are we today? Where's your heart? Now, if you've gotten distracted by numbers and forgotten how important our hearts are to God, isn't it great that we're here together today where we can pray with each other, hug on each other, help each other, whatever needs to be? And maybe your next step, you keep putting it off, is you know that God is God, that you know He's faithful and bless you. You know that in Christ is our hope, and you just hadn't quite taken that next step to go ahead and say, I'm going to be His and put on Christ in baptism. So whatever your next step is, let's take that next step and get a little further down the road. If you need to respond, would you come while we stand and sing?